Cue the music.
This is just a guide to modern life. Modern life is hard to get just right. It can frustrate you and annoy. And if it does, right into dear Lovejoy.
Welcome to the Dear Lovejoy podcast. This is an advice podcast. Please don't get confused. I'm a TV presenter with no experience of therapy or medicine at all. Let me spell this out for you. If you're taking advice off me, you're taking advice off a TV presenter. It is a horrible idea. Mark is here to keep me in check.
Hi, Tim. Hi, everybody.
I was thinking, though, that I don't have any experience of medicine or therapy, but I could do some of that holistic stuff, couldn't I?
Do you know what that means?
Nope. It's a collective term for... I was about to say something.
I am letting you hang with this one.
Insulting. What does it mean? But you don't need qualifications, do you? Well, you go away and get courses for holistic. Should we Google it?
Are we Googling?
This early in the
This
in
is
the
bad.
Show. Right.
It means a different approach, doesn't it, to the traditional?
Yeah, let's get the actual definition, shall we? Holistic medicine, define. Hold on.
Tim is Googling on the internet, looking for information to fill up his head. To fill up his head, or just to fill up the time. You ever get the feeling he's wasting yours and mine? Oh no, no, no.
Okay. The art and science of healing that addresses the whole person, body, mind, and spirit. Practice of holistic medicine integrates conventional and alternative therapies to prevent and treat disease, and most importantly, to promote optimal health. Okay, so
you do realize other people have listeners have Google, and they don't have to.
I'm doing it for them.
They don't have to tune in to listen to someone go on Google.
I'm doing it for them, but I didn't know it was actual conventional as well. So I can't do that. All I can do is the other bit, can't I? The alternative therapy. Anyway, I'm thinking about doing some alternative therapy. I've had a bit of alternative therapy and I enjoyed it. Have you had any alternative therapy, Mark?
Beer.
Beer's not alternative therapy. Actually, oh, it might be. There might be some beer healers. I did a bit of acupuncture. That always works. Have you tried acupuncture?
I have done, yes.
Did it work?
I think it was the sort of placebo effect. I think it would sort of work. I had it for anxiety. And I had it, and I'd feel good for a couple of days, and then they go, I'll come back next week. And you go, what, another 60 quid to stick some things in me?
A friend of mine was asked the other day by a friend of hers to do some alternative medicine. I think it involved Reiki, maybe involved crystals, something like that. And she said to her friend, I'm laughing because I know what's coming. She said to her friend, are you going to be doing magic on me? it's brilliant. I think you know, alternative medicine involves the universe a lot, doesn't it? People discuss the universe doing stuff. Anyway, on today's show, I might do it. And I might give one of those a go one day. I think I should learn one of those alternative medicines. And when I do this podcast, I say, I know what I'm talking about. I can do acupuncture. On today's show, we'll discuss how to give up smoking, how to find the perfect career. We have a very hardcore problem involving cancer, HIV, and deception. It's very long. It's a bit of a roller coaster, that one as well, isn't it, Mark? Very dark. Very, very dark. Stay tuned for that one. In other news, Mark's changed. I think it might be his greasy coffee diet. How's that going? You still doing it?
Yes, thank you. Very
good. Still doing that because I was speaking to him on the... I'm laughing again because I know what's coming again. if you knew Mark as well as I do, you'd know how absolutely hysterical this is. Bearing in mind, this is the man who hates baseball caps. He called it cultural appropriation.
You called it that.
I was speaking to him on the phone the other day and he said, I've been trying to reach out to them. I was like, what?
I brought it up before you did.
What did you say?
I said, yes, I did just say that.
You said it and then regretted it, didn't
you? Yeah, because you don't let it. And, you know, it's not the first time in the last week that you chucked me under the bus on the podcast.
Let's hug it in, Mark. That's Megan, another one.
Megan.
That's another one.
Megan hug, Mark's an idiot.
Hug it, you are. Hug it in. Are you having that when you go no. to shake someone's hand? They go, come on, let's hug it in. No. You're like, why am I hugging you again?
No.
What exactly is it?
We don't hug, do we?
No.
We barely shake hands.
No. Yeah, we don't. Not here, because we're working together.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose when we meet out, do we shake hands?
No.
Yeah. I was a big fan of shaking hands until I realised that majority of germs swap hands, swap things through.
The amount of men I see not wash their hands after they go to the toilet, it puts me off.
Some of the celebrities I know, when they have to do handshakes, they carry a pot of that antibacterial. Oh,
I would. And if I had to do loads of handshaking.
And I've watched them. Mark, you can't hold your, what do you call this, pop shield? You can't hold your pop shield through the whole podcast.
It keeps falling off.
I know, go on, try and fix it now. I'll delay. I'll distract here. I'll tell a joke.
Oh, no, wait.
Now then, right, I'm not saying my mother-in-law's fat, but... Okay, good. Mark's back in the room. Got loads on today's show. Let's get stuck in. Chris Sutar says, what has been your best learning from doing your podcast, Dear Lovejoy podcast, in recording it and from actually doing the show? I would say Megan Hine is my favourite, only because I know I'm so gushing about her. If you haven't heard the Megan Hine interview, it's the last one we did last Thursday. She's just great. Just simplification. It was one of those books which I read and it just resonated with me. It just made life clear. Another guy who did something like that was a guy called Stephen Peters ages ago with his book, The Chimp Paradox, which I enjoyed reading as well. But Megan's is great. And so I learned lots off her. But actually on the podcast, I just thought she was great. I also like Mia Krieger.
Krieger, yes.
Who did the sleep podcast.
He was the sleep expert,
because
yes.
He talks about sleep. It's something we do daily and how important it is for our health and our well-being, and then learning more and more about it. So I liked him as well. Yes. You?
The sleep guide, certainly. Sleep guy, that's terrible. The doctor.
The sleep guy.
And Will Storr, I liked the historical
Will
element
Storr
of
was
that.
Great. All our specialists have been great.
I wouldn't like to single one out personally.
No.
But you would single
did
out
I
Megan.
Do that?
Yeah, Megan.
Megan.
Megan. Mark's an idiot.
I think the podcast is making me a happy person, though. I hope it does the same for you. We're learning lots.
It's a slow...
slow burner, yeah. Making me happy. I'm learning loads.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm learning so much. I was also on Robbie Knox's podcast. He's a friend of ours. He does a podcast called Thinky Thinky Make Make.
Yes.
He interviewed me a couple of weeks ago. I'm on that. I had to play second fiddle to the horrors. He was interviewing me prior to filming.
The band, The Horrors,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, prior to filming The Horrors. And so I had to slot in around a time. He said I was late. I wasn't. And we were, the podcast is funny because he keeps on going, you're going to have to hurry up because The Horrors are coming in a minute. but that was really good. I talk a lot there about podcasts with him and the future and where we think they're going. So if you want to know what my views are on podcasts, then give that a go. It's called Thinky Thinky Make Make. Josh has written in. Hello, lads. Just a little request, really. I was listening to another podcast and they were talking about universal basic income and thought it's a very good idea for the world we live in today. Seems there's a lot of benefits it brings and just think it's good to get the idea out to many people. Any chance you fancy doing a special pod on the subject and getting someone on to talk about it? Keep up the good work. Cheers, Josh. I have actually looked into that and I'm trying to contact someone at the moment. I love the universal wage, and as you're requesting it and you're a listener, I might as well do it. I think that idea is fantastic. I've been speaking about that quite a lot to people for a long time. I can't see the downsides of it, really. It changes the perception of people out of work. So rather than us having to divvy out money to them all the time, they're getting money they're supposed to have, and I just think it's a better mind.
They do it in the Nordic countries, don't they?
Finland, they've been trialing it, and they say that everyone who's involved in it is just having a happier life, and society seems to
I think
like
they're going
to
trial it in
good.
Scotland as well.
Also, there's not enough work around,
no.
So we need to look at something like this, because in the future there won't be enough jobs. politicians keep going on the same old rhetoric nonstop, which is, we're going to try and create jobs. We're going to try and create jobs. It doesn't stop. They shouldn't be doing that. They should be thinking, how are humans going to live in the future? There's less and less jobs going to be around, and this is what we need them to focus on. And I think universal wage, universal basic income is one of the ways that we could look at enhance that. Anyway, I'm going to try and get an economist on to talk about it. I've got to find someone who's media friendly.
That podcast actually was really good. It was Jeff. This sounds like a thing I've just made up, but it's actually hosted by Jeff Lloyd, who used to be on Absolute Radio, and Ed Miliband.
Yeah,
and it's really good. It's called Reasons to be Cheerful, and they have a couple of experts on they chat to, and they do it from Jeff's loft. It's really good. Check it out.
The biggest problem over here with this sort of stuff, though, is in this country we think it's really clever to avoid taxes, and nobody cares if anyone avoids taxes. And loads of our great businessmen go away, don't they? Oh, I've made all this money and I'm going to go and live abroad now and live in a tax haven. And we don't go, we're not going to buy your product anymore. We go, yeah, that's cool. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
And loads of our celebrities do it and stuff. I've been offered all those schemes. And when people sell them to you, it's like, why are you paying all that tax? Because I'm part of a society. That's what the idea is. That's why we're all supposed to be paying tax. Again, you talk about Scandinavia out there. People like paying their taxes. I just think we need a little shift on that as well, where we sort of enjoy paying our taxes. People now be spitting their coffee everywhere. What? But if you feel you're paying in and you're helping society and getting something out, then you'd be happier to do it. I think there's the fundamental problem for governments. Let us feel like we're getting value for our money, and then we don't mind paying in. That is the big thing.
And get someone different to Maura Stewart reminding us every year on the telly.
Is that what she does?
Doesn't she do the tax adverts?
Oh, I don't know. I can't remember. We have a hardcore problem coming up on the show. It's very, very dark. But before we do that, let's do some more basic ones from Twitter. So this one comes from Angus, who says, need a new career path, any ideas? I've got an equation. I've come up with a good equation, because people ask this question a lot, don't they?
Is it more of a sentence?
It's an equation. Yeah, it's more of a sentence. But let's pretend it's a mathematical equation. You've got to take what you're good at, plus what you enjoy doing, minus what you're not good at, and that equals the perfect job. No, that's not funny, Mark. I sat down with my 15-year-old daughters last night and did the equation. They looked at me blankly and then stuck their headphones back in.
And what was the answer?
They stuck their headphones back in.
Yeah. I like listening to my headphones. I don't like talking to you. Minus talking to you equals listening to my headphones.
It's how I got my job. What am I good at? Talking. What do I enjoy doing? Talking to people.
Right.
Okay. What's my dream job? Being on telly or in the media, where I have to come up with ideas and do things like that. It looks exciting. What are you not good at? I'm not good at doing anything which takes a long time. I like immediate. I much prefer doing live TV than anything pre-recorded. Yourself, Mark?
Well, I do live radio, but yeah, I love live radio.
You've done TV as well?
I have done a bit.
You've done pre-recorded TV?
Yeah.
Well, which one do you prefer?
Live radio.
Radio is so immediate, isn't it?
Yeah.
What do you think about podcasting, though? Because podcasting, it feels live. We don't edit this, really, do we?
No.
So every now and then we'll take a little bit out if it's gone a bit weird. But generally we don't edit it. So it feels live, but it's not.
Oh, you want to know the answer?
Please.
Yes, I know what you mean. Yeah. I know what you mean. Yes, it does. It feels more immediate, even though we record it a couple of days before. But
so do you get the same buzz doing this as radio?
It's a totally different one, isn't it? Because I don't talk on the radio normally.
Yeah. You did on my show.
Yeah, I did, but I just butted in, didn't I?
I basically get, when I'm doing radio, and I've done quite a bit, I just get anyone knocking
around. Get any old idiot to talk.
Anyone around, I just go, do you want to talk? Do you want to come on, Mike? I just like talking to people, and I just think I like listening to radio when there's lots of different voices.
Yeah.
I think by the way, what a skill when you're just doing it on your own. One voice to the listeners at home, that is an amazing skill. I've had to do it. I'm all right at it, but I prefer it when I talk to a lot of people. So I've always done that, and you were good on on my radio show back
Thank
in
you.
The day. What are you hopeless at? I'd be a hopeless author. I have very little understanding of how to. I'd be good at writing books, but only if I could do it in a new and original style. I've got an idea to do a book, but I couldn't do it in a traditional way. I'm not brilliant with words, I don't think. I'm writing. You're good at writing.
Well, that's my job. I don't...
Sorry, I'm good at writing how I speak.
Okay.
I can't write how you read.
Nope.
Does that make any sense? Nope. Come on, I can write a script.
Yes.
Right. So you better at writing scripts or...
Both.
Oh, look at me, I'm brilliant. But what are you bad at?
Practical things with my hands. Electrics, plumbing, handiwork, physical labour.
There you go.
I've got soft hands.
Soft hands.
You know what I mean? Soft hands. You know, like carrying stuff hurts.
Very liquid for hands.
Yeah, yeah. I'm much better in the kitchen than I am up a ladder.
Oh, God. One day I used to go on tour with bands, flogging T-shirts, as you know. And one day one of my mates phoned me up and said, I've got a barrier business now. Do you want a job carrying barriers around? And I went, yeah, all right. And
carrying what?
Barriers. You know, like security barriers. You put at the front so that people can't get on the stage. Yeah. They have to be put into the venue. Yeah. And there's a company which takes them. We went to, it was Manic Street Preachers gig. And it was in Brighton. Don't know the name of the venue. Anyone in Brighton would be able to tell me. But
Pavilion,
to,
maybe? No.
Can't remember.
Concord?
You had to go upstairs. So we had to carry these barriers upstairs. Now, all the lads...
They're fine.
They were all carrying three at a time.
Not old Timmy.
I started with three at a time. After about the fourth or fifth journey with three at a time, my arms gave way. That was it. It was so embarrassing. So,
were you there with your mullet going, oh, my arms hurt?
So I had to take one at a time. And the guy went to me, mate, seriously, Tim, you're really no help to us. Just sit down over there like a small boy. And I was like, oh, this is so embarrassing. At the end of the night, because they're really good guys who work and all that, they went to divvy up the cash, which is what happens. It's brilliant that. You sit there in the night and you work out all the money you got and you divvy it up.
Yeah.
And they went to divvy me and I said, oh, I can't take a penny. It's just, it's pathetic. I was basically running, getting them water and coffee. You have to be really strong to do that. Really strong.
Yeah, you have to have those sort of muscles that do that work all the time. Oh, muscles that look good. They have to actually have something in them as well.
Yeah. All right, so there's the equation. What you're good at, what you enjoyed doing, minus what you're not good at, equals perfect job. Write it down, work out what your perfect job is. Seriously. Right, next one. Gary. Mega bored at work, Timothy. Any tips? Ask Lovejoy. I think the two things you got to do when you're sitting there bored at work, you got to think, I'll set myself a challenge. How do I make this job better? And that's a really important thing to do. So either think, I'm going to do more of what I'm doing, or how do I make it more efficient? But the best thing you can always do, and I love doing this, is going in to see the boss. Because I think that's what bosses are there for. There must be a boss above you, unless you are the boss, then don't know really what to suggest on that. Go and meet the staff. But I think always... once a month, once every few weeks, just go to the boss. Hey, can I come and see you? And just get in there and talk to them. It's funny. It's a good thing to do. Do you do that?
No, I don't have a boss, do I?
When you were on radio and stuff, did you do it?
No. Only if I was called in, if I was in trouble.
Thing about when I worked in TV, it was a new industry. As an explosion happened, so there's lots of these production companies who had started. And the people who ran them were just sort of maverick ideas people. And they didn't really know how to run businesses. So I used to love it because I used to go, can I meet the boss, please? And I used to be going to see him. And they had no idea how to deal with staff. So you just sit there. It was just...
did you ask them?
I'd ask them things like, hey, where'd you see the company going?
And no.
Yeah, I did. Where'd you see me going? What can I do to enhance my career? Where can I go to get further? Because I was used to coming from a normal background. I'd worked in mortgages and I'd worked in clothes shops and bars and stuff. Well, not so much bars, but I had worked in them. But the clothes shops and finance, you'd speak to your bosses and say, what do I need to do? How do I get my sales figures up? Or you know, whatever it is, what's the new line coming in the fashion? So you speak all the time. Working in TV, I didn't realize that.
You don't really do that.
There's a hierarchy. Yeah. You don't really talk to the bosses. But I've kept doing that all through my career. And I think it's really important. Always talk to the guy who's giving out the money at the end of the day. They've got to know who you are. So
he's bored of his job, is he? Or is it this guy?
He just said he was mega bored at work. Any tips? Yeah, find a challenge. Find something to do. Go and speak to your boss. Always great to speak to your boss. Find out what's going on. Always find out what's going on. Hey, I worked at should I mention it?
Oh, you've got to now. You can't do that.
I worked at a bar and it was connected to a clothes emporium and the owner of the clothes shop used to come in for a coffee all the time. And I used to say, "Hey, how you doing? How are profits this week?" And he said to my boss of the restaurant, the bar there, he said, "Can you ask that guy not to talk to me, please? I don't like it." So every time he came in, I'm like, "Hey, how are you? Hey, I see the new Rangers come in. Is it selling well?" And I just thought, I don't care if he sacks me, but why?
So you've just given him some really bad advice.
If your boss can't talk to the staff, then he's an idiot, isn't he? Or she is an idiot. Right, Mark says, "Me and the missus just announced we're expecting a baby, April the 18th. Any ideas on name? Dear Lovejoy podcast." Just important on this, remember, children's names say more about you than the child. So be careful what you're giving the child's name. Be very, very careful.
They've got to live with it for the rest of their lives. Don't go with something like bookcase or, you know, fridge.
Moon unit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just think about it. Was it Will Storr who was on the show who said all the individual names started happening in the 1980s, didn't they?
Oh, that was right, yes. Yeah,
he said that's when people went, individualism is really important, so I'm gonna call my Sparkling Water Lovejoy. Ridiculous, as Mark says, don't do that. Robin says, try to commit smoking for Stoptober. Any tips? Stoptober, is that what it's called, October? Stoptober?
Stoptober, yes. That's the smoking. That's the there's Sobertober, isn't there, as well now?
Is there?
Yeah, you go sober for a month. But Stoptober, yeah.
So Robin, right, says, quit trying to commit smoking for Stoptober. Any tips? Yeah, this is a psychological battle. I've done it. I've tried.
We're not going to revisit your.
We might do. No, I think we should. But look, it's a psychological battle. Giving up smoking, I used to smoke years ago. I was very good at smoking. I used to smoke ridiculous amounts after a while. I became totally addicted to it like everybody. I used to be in denial like everybody. I used to say, "Oh, I've got control of it. I only do it when I'm, you know, socially." Then you realize one day you wake up first thing in the morning, you go, "I want a fag," and you go, "Oh, that's disgusting." And it's the coughing up stuff. It's like really horrible.
Marmite oysters, that's what they call them, isn't
it? It's disgusting. And the thing with it, people go, you know, regular smokers go, "No, I don't do that." Well, if you're not doing that, your body's not working, because it's got to get rid of all that crap from your body. So I was a good smoker. I managed to smoke loads. And I decided, this was, I don't know, 15, 16 years ago, I decided that I needed to give up smoking. And it's a psychological game. I tried so many times. The hardest thing I've ever done, but also the easiest thing I've ever done. That is the problem with it. It's just, I really believe this. There's a switch in your head, and you've got to just switch it from one way of thinking to another way of thinking. And that goes for everything. That you can give up everything if you can get that switch. But getting the effort to push that switch, you need the strength of 10 men to push the switch in the right direction. So for me, it was when I realized that life without smoking felt amazing. You get up in the morning, you go, "Yes, I can smell and I can taste and it's brilliant." I like smoking as well, but when I realized that life without smoking felt better than life with smoking, then you have to realize that you deserve the best life. You can't have one without the other. You get that fact into your head. You can't have a life of non-smoking if you're smoking. I know it's stating the obvious, but it's so hard to get your head around. As soon as that happened, this is just this huge strength of 10 men pushes the switch. You go, I get it. I don't have to smoke anymore. And then what happens to you is you start enjoying the feeling of not smoking. You say, I'm on the way to a better life. And it's a real psychological battle that. And once you push the button, that will work with anything. That will work with ex-partners. That will work with chocolate. That will work with anything you want to give up. And always, always, please never forget that if you never stick another cigarette in your mouth, you can never smoke again. That is a fact. Don't let your brain forget that, and you would have given up smoking. So you can control your arms if you can't control your mind still. So just, you know, that cigarette goes into your fingers. People find this funny, but it's true. A cigarette goes into your fingers and it's there and it's lit. And then you can control your arm. You just go, "Don't move. Don't go near my face. Leave it there. It'll just burn itself out and it's gone."
The old ones are the best.
psychological battle, Mark. Is that correct?
It is, Tim. You're right. I agree with you.
It is really hard, though. I feel so... It's such a stupid thing, isn't it? Because we all... If you've ever had to give up anything, it's really hard to give it up until you get your head around it. But if anyone is out there is a smoker and trying to give up, I really feel for you. It's so easy to do. It's just so hard to do. That makes no sense whatsoever, but it is such
a... None of this does. It's fine. I don't know why you keep worrying when you keep saying, this doesn't make any sense. Nothing we say does.
It's so easy and so hard. It's when you do it, it's brilliant. And what you have to do, everyone always says to you, if you go out smoking, don't become a smug ex-smoker. No, do become a smug ex-smoker. It's so hard to do. You might as well become a smug ex-smoker. You might as well just milk it. It's a really hard challenge. So good luck with anyone who's trying to do that. Psychological battle, good luck.
If what you want to ask is just too long for Twitter, don't stress. We've got an easy to remember email address. This is the reason for this overly long song. dearlovejoypodcast@gmail.com.
Right, we've got a really hardcore problem now. It goes on.
Okay,
for
we're there, are we?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, 6 pages. 6 pages. It's very dark, Mark, isn't it?
If you're thinking this might be a little bit long, get yourself a drink, light up a cigarette, have a listen to this.
Do not light a cigarette. Life is better without smoking. Strap in. That's another thing with smoking very quickly is a lot of smokers will tell you they enjoy it and life is better with it. It can't be. You get so much more energy. I'm not anti, by the way. If you're a smoker out there and you want to smoke, it's your choice. That's what I really believe. It's your choice to do with your body what you want. But you should really have a real big think about it, because if you're a smoker, try a week, 10 days without it. Anyone can do that. Just try a week, 10 days. See how you think and see if you feel good at the end of it. Right, strap in. This is pretty hardcore stuff, this. And it remains anonymous for obvious reasons. To TV Tim and the person who is like a biscuit on the side of the coffee, you love it being there, but it's not the reason you got the coffee. Only joking. Hello as well. Mark.
Speechless.
So this is a bit deep and dark, but what do you think I should do? I've kept some stuff out of this as I can't even think about it, but it's like proper EastEnders stuff. So I came out pretty late at 26, was all good in the end. None of my mates stopped being my mates. So I get a boyfriend. We met online, and at the start of the relationship, he was pretty upfront to me. He had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Anyway, I fell for him. We lived together. It was all good and fun like any new relationship. Even though others had reservations about getting somebody with terminal cancer, I got to love him. I never thought anything of it. Is that a terminal cancer? I thought you could... That was one of the ones you could cure. But anyway, he knows I don't. Anyway, I thought it was all worth it. I took him to hospital appointments. We went on holidays. Just life, to be honest. Then one day he was in hospital. I was just sitting in a chair. And then the nurse asked him if he wanted to try this HIV trial for some random drug. I saw his face change, like he was shocked. They asked while I was sat there. So anyway, they had just found out he had HIV in a random test they were doing on him for his blood count. So that was a knockback for his treatment. But anyway, we stayed together, practiced safe sex and stuff, and just got on with it. Anyway, by now, we'd been together 2 or 3 years. We're having a few bad times and getting down and depressed, thinking I've took on too much. But as this was my first relationship, I was scared to tell my mates. I was obviously recently out, so I didn't know how to talk to people about my situation. Sorry about the way I'm reading this. Obviously, when people write these letters, they go for it. And so sometimes there's...
Grammar goes out the window, doesn't it?
A lack of punctuation sometimes, but yeah, and some spelling mistakes. But we get the general gist. He was saying, if you ever leave me, I will commit suicide. No! that is the worst thing, isn't it, when you can do that to someone. If you ever leave me, I will commit suicide. But it's just not fair on someone. If anyone says that to you, it's not, they're responsible for their life, you're responsible for your life. You are not in any way, shape or form responsible for their life. Never let anybody tell you you're responsible for whether they live or die. That is absolute nonsense. Do you think, Mark?
Yes, unless you're a surgeon.
Of course, unless you're a surgeon. He was saying, if you ever leave me, I will commit suicide, stop my treatment, blah, blah, blah. When I look back, he really messed my head up. So anyway, one day I get sent this message on Facebook of a random person with no friends. It said, your fella has never had cancer and has had HIV all along. He isn't dying and meets other lads when you're away for work. Oh, no. So I didn't reply, just took in the info. One day, in an argument, I brought it up. And he actually he got very physical with me in the bedroom, punching me and everything. I told you this is dark. It's not nice. I remember hiding under the quilt whilst he punched me, saying, how can I believe that? And how could I think he didn't have terminal cancer? So by this time, I'm really down. Some of my mates thought he was Marmite anyway. So I felt I couldn't turn to anybody. I kept it all to myself. I felt silly, stupid, confused and depressed. I'm on anti-Ds. Staying off work in this horrible place, I wanted to commit suicide. I was a total mess. I was getting emotionally beating and and physically and hiding from my mates. Then one day I was sat on the toilet and I took all these tablets for months that I really just thought was really making me sad. And it's actually my boyfriend. So I just needed to finish him and deal with any consequences. I left him a note and said, pack your bags and leave. I will kill myself if you stay in my life. I went away for 3 weeks on an oil rig. I assume that's what he does for a job. He put loads of stuff about me on Facebook, told people lies about me, spread this to people that I was scum. He knew he'd lost me, so he tried to make people hate me. I lost our mutual friends. In their eyes, I had left him whilst he was getting test treatments for terminal cancer. Left him while he needed me the most. I was alone. I couldn't tell my own mates or family. This just sounds like you've woken up in a horror movie, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's like one of those dramas that's so frequent at the moment on TV.
I mean, it sounds... I didn't mean it, but when you were talking to someone, I went, is this made up? This sounds so bad. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. This guy is, though, a classic case of
Which one?
Boyfriend, a narcissist or a sociopath. He's invented a lie, he's a fantasist, and now the only way he can survive is making out that you're the bad one,
yeah.
And by putting you down in front of everybody. Anyway, fast forward 2 months, I'm getting counselling by now, and I receive a letter saying he was sorry and good luck in the future. It said he never had cancer and had HIV. All the appointments he went to were just checkups to see if it was HIV or AIDS. I felt so naive and stupid and wasted 3 years of my life. You can never, anyone out there going through a tough time, you can never think you wasted years of your life. That's just, it is now. It is now. You're now here and the life is in front of you. Don't worry about what went on. Do worry about what went on behind you, but you didn't waste it. It was just something which happened. It's all part of life's rich tapestry and you've got to make the most of what's in front of you now. I was angry and wanted to... Do you know what it is? Sorry to bang on about my mate Megan Hine, but it's acceptance. Oh. It's acceptance of the situation, isn't it? And that is be all and end all. I wasted 3 years of my life. No, you accept that you were naive and stupid, as you put it. You accept it and then you move on. I was angry and wanted to hurt him, but my shrink told me to let go of the anger or that my ex was still living in my head. I never told anybody except the counsellor all of this. So I just let forgive him in my head. I just forgave him in my head, probably. I would never speak to him. Wouldn't piss on him if he was on fire. But for my mental state, I needed to forgive him. So I did. I let him still try and ruin me to others, but I'm the bigger person. I know if there is a heaven and hell, I will know he will definitely be in different places. Fast forward a couple of years, have moved on for me with somebody else, and I'm happy and in love and have learned a massive life lesson and had one very unlucky, nasty relationship. But it will never happen again. I've told my close friends the truth now. I'm mentally strong. Only thing is, I know this email has gone on and on, like you, Tim, and your sore back.
Oh, wow.
I've never mentioned my sore back. I've never mentioned my sore back on this show.
You haven't done for a couple of weeks.
But I now sometimes... Sorry. I now sometimes... I feel anger again and feel I want to get even, whether that's smashing his face or telling everybody about him lying about cancer. My mum says karma will get him, not to worry. And also my current boyfriend is like, forget him, he'll get his day. Do I go to the police and deal with all the interviews to get him charged with sleeping with me unprotected, relive all that dark period of time? Do I smash his face in? You definitely don't do that. Do I smash his window in? You definitely don't do that. Do I go on Facebook and say he's lying about having cancer and try and ruin him? Nope, you don't do that. Or do I play the bigger person and think I'm in a good place now? Sometimes I feel, yes, I'm in a better place, but going to the police might stop him doing it to somebody else who might be stupid and naive as me. You're not stupid and naive. This guy's a nightmare. Like, that is not stupid and naive. You've got to go through life expecting someone, if they tell you they've got cancer, that they have cancer. Don't you? You can't go, have you got cancer? Can I look at your medical notes first to check? You've got to go through life believing that people are telling the truth in that respect. It'd be so unhealthy if you didn't. This guy is ill, not you. This guy, you're not stupid and naive. Most people would have fallen for that. I'm sorry, because it is so ridiculous. It's really sick stuff and dark. I don't feel I can go through with the questions and court cases and slander, and even though he might send somebody around to my house. What? He is horrible and will go for the jugular when backed into the corner. Should I want to get even? You're not going to get even. Anyway, sorry if that's too long, but I've told you now. Time for a coffee and a little free biscuit on the side. That's you, Mark. In fact, who needs a free little biscuit? What do they actually bring to the party? Well, is he being nasty about you then, Mark?
He is.
That's not fair. Also, that old Buddhist proverb, if people tell you somebody is like Marmite, they actually mean the person is see you next Tuesday and don't know how to tell you. Okay. So your mate saw it. That's basically what he said. Do you know what? That is actually a really good sign. If your mates say to you sometimes, because love is blind. We all know that. That expression is very true. If your mates actually say to you one day, I'm not quite sure about your partner, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, I'm not really sure about them, start thinking it as well. Obviously, there can be jealousy involved there. So, you know, but you can sort of analyze it a bit if your mates know. And if a few of them tell you, then you've got to take it seriously. Anyway, look, great detail in that email. Thank you so much for sending that over. That can't have been easy to write. And I actually think this is the easiest problem to solve. You've just got to get on with your life and leave it behind. How you conduct yourself now is how you feel about yourself. If you go for revenge, it will hurt you. I don't think you're that person. Something absolutely horrific has happened to you. If you stay in it, it is absolutely going to destroy you. You're never going to get away from it. As I say, it's...
You have to end it.
Acceptance. Take responsibility for what you've done. You've been in it. Accept that it happened. And now you've got to move on. I think when you say you want to try and help people in the future by going to the police and stuff, I think if you look at that, it's just you trying to stay connected to the mayhem. And you're going to try and fix it. You've got attachment to that. Look, it's such a horrific thing which happens. I know nothing, by the way, about therapy. and I do spout stuff on here. But I think people get attached to horrible things that happen to them because they can't believe it happens. They want to fix it. So you become attached to it. So if you're involved in something horrific in your life, you will try and stay attached to that thing as long as possible in the attempt to fix it. You're not going to fix it. You're better to disconnect any attachment you have to it and just move on. You cannot fix it and you cannot fix him. If you get involved in it any further, it's only going to hurt and damage you. The best way really to deal with all these things is by getting on with your life and conducting yourself in a lovely, proper way, isn't it, Mark?
It is. Good advice, Tim. I'm surprised, I'll be honest. I thought you were going to... I thought you were going to... I didn't know what you were going to say to that.
You can't end that and then, like, say that I'm rubbish.
I didn't. I said I was surprised.
You can't, yeah.
I was good.
Basically, that's the implication that I'm not very good at my job.
It's my not your job.
Yeah, it is my...
I think you're deluded.
Mark, I've actually started believing I'm an agony uncle. Oh, my God. Just in case anyone doubts it, I'm a TV presenter.
No, I don't think they doubt it, Tim. I think if they're 39 minutes in, I reckon they're pretty sure you're not a therapist.
Come on. Mark, for a minute there, I was, you know when you wake up in the middle of the night and you've been playing football for your... Have you ever done that? I had this dream. Have I mentioned this on the podcast before? It was a few months ago. Actually, it was a bit longer than that. It was about 6 months ago. You know those real dreams? And I'd woken up, the ones
lucid.
Where, is that what they're called? Where they're just so real.
Yeah.
So I woke up in the morning and I was like, oh, it's not real. But in my dream, I'd been asked to play for Chelsea. And I mean, it's pathetic. You know, I'm way beyond my... I've not retired from international football yet, but I'm way beyond...
But they are, playing. The FA are expecting a letter any day now, aren't they? My friend retired. He sent a letter to the FA and retired from international football after Andy Cole did, because he didn't play for years
and then retired.
So he sent one and said, "I have also retired in light of Andy Cole's news."
I think I might have retired on Soccer M once in a press conference, but I was playing and I was just doing a job in front of the back four. But the best bit about it was, is I said, "Look, I really can't do any of the Sunday fixtures because I've got to do Sunday brunch." And I'm going to be tired after doing the show. That's the great thing about dreams. You know, there's people who can, they try and teach you to wake up in your dreams so you can control them from inside.
I can control my dreams.
Oh, no, you can't. No, we can't.
The ones sort of an hour before I'm going to wake up, I'm half lucid in them, genuinely.
You can control your dreams.
I can control some of the ones, not all of them, some of them. Not the horrible ones, but the good ones. Stuff like...
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I can't think of it on top of the head, but I know that feeling. I know that feeling.
That what feeling?
Being able to control certain bits of it.
I think all the listeners sitting there listening to this would think, maybe we need an example.
I'm trying to think of one and I can't think of one.
You know what I do? This is weird. But when you go into a swimming pool, I like swimming because it defies gravity. When you're swimming in the water, it's sort of, you don't obviously fall to the bottom, so you're weightless. It's a great feeling. What I tend to do, because I'm going swimming a lot with Jamie at the moment, my daughter, trying to teach her. Hey, do you know what I taught her how to swim?
Finish one thought, Tim.
I've got a better thought than what I was doing.
Yeah, but it's just
polite.
I taught her how to...
All right, just bear with me on this. I taught her, indulge me, I taught her how to swim underwater. And I took her for a swimming trial the other day. And they said, swimming underwater is half the battle. Oh, my God. I mean, everyone thought I should be really proud of Jamie. No, I was proud of myself.
Wow.
Wow, look at that. I taught my daughter to swim underwater. Anyway, so we do a lot of, is I try and make her go and sit on the bottom of the water. So you do, on the bottom pool. Of the pool, yeah. So you do a lot of floating. If you do a lot of floating in water, when you go to sleep at night, I dream often that I can fly.
Yes.
Superhuman.
I have lots
powers.
Of flying dreams.
Do you?
Yeah, loads.
Why?
I don't have no idea. I don't read anything into it. I just have.
Let me analyze it. Where are you flying to?
Just flying around.
Well, yeah. Where though?
I have it a lot where I do a really fast run and flap my arms.
I've got cramp. I'm running around now. Oh, wow. Oh, where are you flying to, though?
Just around.
What are you wearing as you're flying?
Just clothes. Just normal.
Yeah, but flying what? Over the rooftops of...
Just, yeah, everywhere.
But yeah, everywhere where? Where you live?
Like,
or...
Yeah, just like where I live or where any... I fly in most of my dreams.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, I think we maybe need to find a dream analysis. Someone who can speak. Right, I think we've done enough here now, haven't we?
I think we've done enough damage to our listenership.
I think our business is concluded. I hope today's podcast has been helpful.
That is a stretch.
I've taught you how to give up smoking. I've taught you how to name your child. I've taught you how to relieve boredom at work. I've told you how to get the perfect job. I've covered it all today. I think I am the agony.
It's almost like there's a need for no more podcasts.
I've covered a lot of ground here. You're getting value for money. considering this is free, you're getting value for money, you can tweet us at Tim Lovejoy. You can email us, dearlovejoypodcast@gmail.com. You can subscribe to us and rate us 5 stars. You can join in. You can talk to us. Do you know what I'd like you to do is comment on some of our, some of the things that I say, some of the problems that I diagnose, whether you could give me the what you think about them as well. That'd be interesting. We'll be back on Monday. Until then,
enjoy yourself.
See ya.
Bye.